Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The seed of destiny today actually preached a portion of the message. And I welcome everyone tonight to this last service, that last midweek service for the month of October. Tonight, we are looking at hindrances to godly character. I want to understand those factors that can hinder a person from manifesting character that is godly. We have looked at the work of love, and we are still looking at it. We'll be concluding in that on Sunday. Aside from that, there are certain things aside of love, when absent from the life of a person, can make them walk in ungodly character. And I'm going to look at five of them. Number one is the absence of the reality and consciousness of God's presence. The absence of the reality and consciousness of God's presence. The presence of God in the life of a person carries cleansing power. The presence of God in the life of a person carries purifying power. When a man, when a woman, when a person stays in the vicinity of God, the climate of God cleanses them. Psalm 17, verse 15, the Bible says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." That is, I am where you are. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. To look at God is to look like God. To behold him is to become like him. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. The outcome is that I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Whatever keeps you with God brings the best out of you. Whatever keeps you away from God brings the worst out of you. Whatever keeps you with God brings the best out of you. Whatever keeps you from God brings the worst out of you. No wonder he said in Hebrews, I believe it is chapter 12, verse 25. Start from 24. Really? Maybe I'm quoting the wrong, maybe 10 and 25. He said, "Not forsaking 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together." 10:25. "As the manner of some is, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching." The next verse gives us the clue. "For if we sin willfully," so when we forsake the assembly and forsake the presence of God, the tendency of sinning increases. "For if we sin willfully," after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, "if we sin willfully," it increases the tendency. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3 and in verse 18, the Bible says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we stay with God, when we camp with God, when we hang with Him, we are changed into His nature. We are changed into His image. We are changed into His character. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. The presence of God carries cleansing power, purifying power. In John chapter 13 and in verse 4 to verse 5, after the disciples had gone around, as they came into the presence of the Master, He arose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and gathered Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith He was gathered. As we go through the journey of life, dust settle. Dust from interacting with the world, dust settles. The dust that makes us insensitive, the dust of life, settles. It is by going into His presence that we are washed from the dust that had settled. Somebody say aloud, amen. So this is very, very important. When you see men, you see women, you see people who know how to camp with God, they know how to maintain the cleanness of their garment. They know how to maintain it. Nobody can dwell in the presence of God and be a habitual sinner. Impossible. But another thing is very, very important to the now this is the reality of God's presence. Now, there is also the consciousness of God's presence. It also carries cleansing power. The reality of God's presence is that is you are with God. The consciousness is anywhere I am, God is. Whatever I am doing, God is watching. I am about to change figures in order to manipulate accounting documents to make more money. God is watching. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 1 to verse 12. That awareness plus the consciousness of the presence of God. He said, "Oh Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down." You compass my path. Anywhere I'm walking, You surround it. You are acquainted with all my ways. What you and your wife discuss in the bedroom, He heard. Now look at verse 4. "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Everything I said, You know. You heard me. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and You laid Your hands on me." It will get worse. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." I'm reading all the way to verse 12. "Whither shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where shall I run from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, You are still there." That is, at the worst joints, You are there. The beer parlor. "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Your hand lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall become light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are alike to you." Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so clear. No night, no day. What you call night, it is day. What you call privacy, it is openness. What you call secrecy, it is revelation. So that kind of consciousness. That kind of consciousness. If that kind of consciousness will increase in the life of men, that kind of awareness will increase in the life of men, there will be greater caution for action. Greater caution. Say, before you say, "Lord, I'm sorry," say, "I am aware." It imparts caution to action. Somebody say a loud amen. So this first is the absence of the reality and the consciousness of God's presence. It makes people behave, misbehave, underbehave. Number two is distance or disconnection from the Word of God. Distance or disconnection from the Word of God gives distance. I mean, gives opportunity to misbehave and mislead. Psalm 119 verse 9, the Bible said, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way?" He said, "By taking it thereto, according to thy word." If I take heed to his word, I cleanse my way. Verse 11 said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." John chapter 15 verse 3, the Bible said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Through the word which I have spoken unto you, you are clean. You are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. And then Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 26, Ephesians 5:26, he said, "That he might sanctify and cleanse," that is the church, "with the washing of water by the word." Hallelujah. I'd like you to take note of three things about the word. Number one, the word brings direction giving and sin exposing light. Light that gives you direction on how to behave and light that exposes your errors. The word brings it. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." Psalm 119 verse 9. Direction giving, sin exposing, error exposing. Number two, the word equals life purifying water. When you immerse in the word, it's like going for a bath. It brings life purifying water. "That he might cleanse by the washing of the water by the word." Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Life purifying water. And finally, thirdly, the word brings divine life imparting virtue. Divine life imparting virtue. When the word is released, it carries the life of the speaker, the life of the owner. John chapter 6 verse 63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The word I speak to you, they carry my life, they carry my spirit. Ezekiel chapter 2 and in verse 2, it says, "And as he spoke to me, the spirit entered, and the spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me." The spirit of God is the life and the character of God. So when you are immersed in the word, you are immersed in his character. When you absorb the word, you absorb his character. So you begin to behave consistent with his character. You behave consistent with his character. Hallelujah. Because you are what you eat, and what you eat eats you up. You immerse, you feed on the word, and that word changes your character to his character. So distance from the word of God equals distance from the character of God. Closeness to the word of God equals closeness to the character of God. Somebody say aloud, amen. So, the first thing is when there is the absence of the reality and the consciousness of God. The second is distance or disconnection from the word of God. The next hindrance to godly character is number three, is the lack of a buoyant prayer altar. The lack of a buoyant or a vibrant prayer altar. The prayer life of a man has a lot to say with the character of the person. A vibrant prayer altar. In 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, Elijah said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no rain, no dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. This is the equation. Prayer establishes a man's stand with God. And a stand with God is what is called righteousness, right standing relationship with God, right standing. It is not possible to pray without having a stand with God. That stand with God is guaranteed at the place of prayer. You can't be prayerful without having a stand with God. Guilty people run away from prayer. They run away from God. They run away from His presence. Am I communicating? That is why James chapter 5 verse 16 and 17 said, confess your faults one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. So he was a righteous man. So the equation goes both ways. Prayer will give you a right stand with, will establish a right stand with God, and a right stand with God will empower the life of prayer. Did you hear that? The right stand with God gives you force at the place of prayer. For the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs 28 and in verse 1. They are as bold as a lion. Right? So, I believe it was D.L. Moody that said that prayer will keep you from sin and sin will keep you from praying. So if you are prayerful, you cannot be sinful. And if you are sinful, you can't be prayerful. It's not possible that they work together. Because there is a deflation of confidence that happens. You want to open your mouth, the devil says, who are you to talk? What do you want to pray? What are you asking God for? Even unbelievers say, if God will answer this person, he will answer me too. Especially if they know your lifestyle. Very, very important. That is what prayer does. It establishes a stand. It confirms your stand. And your stand with God empowers your prayer life. But there is a second dimension of prayer. Prayer cleanses spiritual garments. Because it brings you into God's presence. And the light of God's presence is His cleansing light. In Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Luke 9:29. As He prayed, that is Jesus, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glittering. As He prayed, something happened to His garment. The place of prayer is the place of the whitening of the garment. Where the Bible says, let your garment be always white. In Ecclesiastes 9 verse 8, so that your head will not lack ointment. That whitening of the garment can happen at the place of prayer. So you consider the equation. When you pray, you whiten your garment. And when you whiten your garment, you increase the flow of the oil.
Let your garment be always white, so that your head will lack no ointment. And at the place of prayer, you whiten the garment. Prayer cleanses, purifies, whitens our spiritual garment by the sheer fact that we are inhabiting His presence. And like we said before, the presence of God carries cleansing power. Somebody say aloud, amen. So the lack of a buoyant prayer altar. Many sinners don't pray. In fact, in the midst of prayer in church, they are confused. They open their eyes and they are watching. What are these people doing? After 2 minutes of prayer, they are exhausted, if they ever do. But the real saint is on for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, or 7 hours, or 10 hours, when necessary. That is the cleansing power of prayer. Can you see that most of the spiritual disciplines that we do, they don't only produce material results, but spiritual results. The first thing that will hinder a person's godly life is the absence of the reality and consciousness of God's presence. Number two is the distance or disconnection from the Word of God. Number three is the lack of a buoyant or a vibrant prayer altar. Number four is the wrong association. That was what the Seed of Destiny preached tonight. The wrong association. Association affects manifestation. That is character manifestation. Exodus 23 verse 2 said, thou shalt not follow the multitude. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. So it is easy for humankind to follow multitudes to do the wrong thing. It is called the bandwagon effect. It is called approval addiction. Approval addiction. Opinion dependence. Human opinion. People are so dependent on what people say. What people feel. So they run with the crowd. Talking with a young man who had been wrecked by cocaine. He started crack cocaine only 2 years ago. How did he start? A girl came into his life. And the girl, who literally was an addict herself, introduced him to it. And after only 2 years, he was already ruined. No school, everything sold. Association affects manifestation, affects action. Now, secondly, it is important that to know that association implies communication. Because in association, we communicate, you talk. And communication, when it is wrong, brings corruption. Association is communication. And wrong communications bring corruption. A character is corrupted by communications that are wrong. That was what Ephesians chapter 15 verse 33 said. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Go to the motor park. See motor park behavior. You will be shocked. Because there is motor park communication. Oh, they have a language. My father was a luxury bus owner and lorries and so on. So part of our life, we function, we walked in the motor park. Not motor park as a agbero, but the scene, overseeing the buses and working with them. So the language there is. So they are drinking beer, they are smoking alcohol, and they are pursuing women. These three things is the center of communication. And as the communication goes, so the manifestation. Am I communicating at all? So if
you don't want evil manifestations, avoid evil associations that will bring about evil communications. I heard a young man said he came across some people and the communication is, the only thing that matters in this life is just make money. That is the communication. The only thing that matters in this life is just make money. Just make money. Just ensure you make money. Is that the only thing that matters in this life? God forbid. What shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? So every other thing becomes immaterial. Going to church is a waste. Even studying is a waste for as long as you can make money by any means. Just see, I said to the Bible school, was it 2 days ago I was with the Bible school? 2 days ago, I said to them, you are doing nothing about your destiny until you are doing something about your company. You are doing nothing about your future until you are doing something about your friends. Bad friends. Rubbish communication. Please, whether it is the friends that teach you evil or the friends that slander people, like we are saying, that introduce you into hate, run from them. Don't manage relationship. Don't manage it. Love liberally. Love everybody, but relate selectively. Selectively. Be prodigal in love, but be frugal in relationship. Did you hear what I just said? When we started church newly, some people were discussing somewhere. Say, yeah, that church, there are members there. But it's only strugglers that are there. Strugglers. And the church is full. It's only strugglers. People who, just low-level people, poor people. So you won't see any rich man there. Those were days where people used to chase big people to bring them to church. I mean, chase them. They can do anything. It's only strugglers. Well, if God ordained us to pastor strugglers, then that is what he wants. And to pastor low-level people, that is what he wants. But we faced our front and did and went like that. Those people have come to see the church, the struggling church that God built in the struggling. They've been here many times. Struggling people's church. The struggling people's church have billionaires who are workers. The struggling people's church. Who consider it a privilege to do foundation class? Do you understand what I'm saying? Who are judges, professors in medicine? All manner. The struggling people's church. See, evil communication. Senior advocates of Nigeria. All manner. The struggling people's church. Presidents of all manner, they're struggling. Don't judge me. Don't use my today to judge the future. Because, and how did they even know it was struggling people's church? What was the index? That was a communication that somebody overheard them and came and reported. Said, see what these people are saying? Attack church. And it's not ordinary church members that we're discussing. You don't need to know who the kind of people who are discussing it. Hallelujah. Please, just anywhere they don't value people's character, or they don't value people's worth, associating there will affect your character. communication that is bankrupt of love will puncture your character. Any communication that is bankrupt of love for people, it will puncture your character. Any communication. Hallelujah. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. The wrong association. So association implies communication, and the wrong communication will bring corruption. Company affects mindset. And mindset affects lifestyle. And lifestyle confirms character. Please run from any company that has the capacity to destroy your life. Even the wrong pastor entering your life as a pastor can ruin your life. The wrong pastor is a pastor in quote, enters your life. Let me tell you a very, very funny story. I hope I was not online. One pastor came to me and he said I should pray for him. That he went into a wrong association that thoroughly corrupted him. Say, how is it? Say, this is a company that will try to use information to prophesy. I won't go beyond that. So, this young man said, is that not fraudulent? Is that not a lie? That is, the way people come and they probably, what are you here for? What is your, fill your name, fill your phone, this and that. He comes behind. And then you are now seeing the person and telling them what you are reading from the form. So, this man said, is this not fraudulent? He said, didn't Elisha ask Gehazi about the problem of the Shunammite woman? It was so... You know, people can make the Bible say anything they want. That before Elisha prayed for the Shunammite woman, he asked first what her problem was. So it was based on that which he knew that he was using to pray for. I fear. When I saw that, when I heard that, I fear. I said, hey! People there. Now, that was not an unbeliever. That was somebody who is meant to be a pastor, being corrupted by another. He followed that destructive way for years. And everything was upside down. And he said, please, I need help. I think I went into a wrong company. And I realized that everything is crooked. I wish I had said this in a pastor's meeting. If you remind me, I'll say it. When we meet and it's only pastors. Be careful. Let nobody corrupt the simplicity of your mind. That is what the Bible said. Let nobody corrupt the simplicity, the sincerity, and the innocence of your mind. With any so-called revelation that is contrary to your conviction. With any so-called. Somebody say amen. The wrong association that destroyed many people.
And finally, the ultimate is the lack of eternity consciousness. The lack of eternity consciousness. Or the lack of the consciousness of eternal consequence. Leave it at this. But the other way is, when people lack the consciousness of eternal consequence, that earthly actions have eternal consequences. Actions on the earth have consequences in eternity. You entered into a home, drive the madam of the house, and inherit the husband. To you, it is normal. God may deal with it on the earth. But by the time you reach eternity, any dealing you saw on earth is shadow. In Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything will be brought into judgment. So once we have that at the back of our minds, it imparts caution. It imparts caution. Psalm 9 verse 17, it said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So there is a hell. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. A hell that a person must determine to shun. Hebrews 9:27. I call it the inevitable appointment and the inescapable judgment. Inevitable appointment, as it is appointed unto men, wants to die, but after this is the judgment before a judge that cannot be compromised. See, so we bear that in mind. One day, time shall stand still and be no more when all shall end. One day, eternity shall start for all, both small and small. One day, time shall stand still and be no more when all shall end. One day, eternity shall start for all, but greater. The trump shall sound, the trump shall sound. The trump shall sound, the trump. Say, Lord, I come before you today. Say it after me. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I come before you today.
I ask for a fresh baptism
of the reality and consciousness
of your presence
in my life. Overwhelm me with your presence and let me be conscious of your presence. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for fresh passion for your word. For your word, Father, I ask for a revival of my prayer altar. A revival of my prayer altar in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, I ask that you disconnect me from the wrong associations in the name of Jesus. Disconnect me from the wrong associations in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father.
Father,
draw me closer to you.
Draw me closer to you.
If
anyone will ask me, what is the secret of remaining perpetually relevant with God? I will ask you to ask Him to put in your heart, number one, a hunger for Him that cannot be conquered. Incurable. 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 An addiction to His presence until you are miserable if you can't feel Him. Yes. And that is what I want us to pray right now. A hunger for You, Lord, that cannot be conquered. An addiction to Your presence until you look miserable if you can't feel God. The way a cocaine person is shaken if he doesn't have cocaine. You understand? We're talking the other day. See, if you can come to that point, you don't need to ask for another thing. Other things fall in line. A hunger for You that cannot be conquered. An addiction to You that makes me miserable if I can't feel You. That is, it doesn't matter the billions you have. If you can't feel God, it is useless. You feel useless. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. That's what I can tell you. That is what drives everything. Miracles, healing, signs, wonders, fasting, prayer, anything. That's right. Lift your hands now and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
I ask that You will plant in my heart a hunger for You that cannot be conquered.
An addiction
to Your presence that makes me miserable if I cannot feel You, if I cannot experience You. Open your mouth and pray. Pray. Just shortly, in a few short minutes, for us to make demands on this fresh impartation of this
grace and this hunger. But let's use this prayer climate to pray for the crusade we are going for in Sokoto tomorrow. We are trusting God that His presence will make all the difference in the land. Lift up your hands and say, Father,
Father,
we invite you.
We invite you.
To take your place,
to take your place.
In Nigeria,
in Nigeria.
In Sokoto.
In Sokoto,
open your mouth and pray.
In the name of Jesus, we are praying. Somebody shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, 37 to 38, one to go. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Father, we ask for a heavy, convicting power of your spirit in the Sokoto Crusade, resulting in a massive harvest of souls unto salvation. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, we ask for a heavy, convicting power of your spirit in the Sokoto Crusade, resulting in a massive harvest of souls unto salvation. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice.
Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Pray after me. Father, we take authority over every spirit of repressor or counterattack related to the Sokoto Crusade. We take authority over every conspiracy of evil altars and demonic agents against the Crusade. We command them neutralized. Lord, in the name of Jesus, pray after me. Father, we take authority over every spirit of repression or counterattack related to the Sokoto Crusade. We take authority over every conspiracy of evil order and demonic agents against the Crusade. We command them neutralize. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up the voice of prayer.
But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Lift up your voice and say,
Father,
we ask
that you anoint
your servant afresh
to meet
the specific needs
of the people
of the land
and the land.
Cause him
to minister.
minister with spiritual accuracy and fire.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Father,
we ask
that you anoint
your servant afresh
to meet the specific needs
of the people
and the land
that
caused him
to
minister
with spiritual accuracy
and fire.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
lift up your voice.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are.
And while these hands are lifted up, anywhere you are tonight, you heard the message, you are far from God. You are distant from God. You have acted and behaved without the consciousness of eternal consequence. You live as if there is no heaven and there is no hell. You want to make it right with Jesus tonight. You want your sins forgiven. You want today to mark a new day for you. Pick your Bibles and your bags and quickly come forward here and let us pray for you. Carry your Bibles, carry your bags, and quickly come forward here and let us pray for you. In the name of Jesus, send the light. Send the light. In the name of Jesus,
send the light.
I give you the count of seven. One, carry your Bibles and your bands as you come. Two, in the name of Jesus,
send the light.
Broken lifestyle that you're not happy with, you want the yoke of it broken, pick your Bibles and pick your bags and quickly rush to the front here. Addictions that need to be broken, lifestyle that need to change. You're battling with smoking, with drinking, with womanizing, with masturbation, with pornography, with gambling, with fraud. Quickly rush to the front here.
Send the light.
Give you the count of 5-1.
Send the light.
Count the communion. All right, just a moment. Just a moment. In the front here, place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus. Alright, let's take the communion position. We'll pray an impartation at the end of this. And pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever, backward never. Grace to live for you, Lord, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.